Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah continues with chapter 3 in Yuma. As we've seen the past few days, chapter 2 got onto a bit of a logistical detour, talking about clearing off the Mizbeach and then bringing up pieces of karbanot and related items onto the Mizbeach. Now in chapter Gimel, we're getting back to the Avodah of Yom Kippur itself. Mishnah Aleph, Amar Lehem HaMemunah, the appointed official in the temple said to the Kohanim, Se'u, come on out, Aru, and go see. Im higia zman ha-shechita, if the time of slaughtering has arrived, talking about the slaughtering of the first offering of the day, the tamid shel shachar, the constant ola offering brought every day, was the first offering brought. Im higia, if the time had come, haroe, the kohen who saw, omer barkai, he would say barkai. This word is kind of cognate to barak, which means lightning. We might translate in English as break of dawn, or the first flash of light of dawn. Now the Mishnah brings another opinion that it wasn't at the first crack of dawn. Matitya ben Shmuel Omer, Matitya says, Ha'ir pnei chol ha-mizrach. The time frame was that light was seen for the entire eastern horizon, not just the crack of dawn in one place, but the whole horizon was lit up, starting to light up. Ad shebechevron, up until Chevron. So it sounds like the official, the other Kohanim, would ask the one who's up on the top of the wall looking. They'd say, has the light spread way until Hebron? Recall, Hebron is in the south of Yerushalayim. Hu Omer Hen, and he would say yes. So if the light had reached that far along the horizon, it was time for slaughter, according to Matitya. The Bartnura notes that Hebron is mentioned because of Zechut Avot, that Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov are buried in Hebron. So when light has reached all the way to Hebron along the horizon, you know, you can't really see Hebron from Yerushalayim, but, you know, that far down, we assume there's light in Hebron also, and it's time for the daily Avodah to begin. Mishnah Beit explains, V'lama chutzor chulakach? Why do we need to go through this procedure of going up on the top of the wall, the high place in the temple, and really looking at the horizon and making sure we really have barkai, we really have at least daybreak? Shepam acha, there was one time, ala me'ora levana, where the light of the moon went up. V'dimu, and it resembled to them, sheheir mizrach. It was as if the eastern sky was starting to get light. Now, apparently it was a very bright moon and a cloudy day, so the moon through the clouds, and the moon was quite bright, resembled sunlight beginning to creep over the horizon. This did not happen on Yom Kippur, because at that time of the month, the moon is not in the eastern side of the sky. So it was a different day. So this procedure we're talking about to find daybreak is actually every day, not just Yom Kippur. We emphasize it in Yuma and Yom Kippur because that's when we have to start as soon as possible to fit in the very busy day of the Kohen Gadol at the temple. Well, the Mishnah continues. So what happened when the moonlight was shining through the clouds, they thought it was sunlight, v'shachatu at the tamid, and they actually slaughtered the morning tamid, the first offering, hotziyuhu lebeit ha-sreifa. They realized that was just the moon, not the sun. They had to bring it out to the beit ha-sreifa, to the place where they burn pusul invalid karbanot, because it was not valid, because it wasn't time yet. Rabbi Tai, we see sometimes doing the right thing at the wrong time does not get you the result you want it. So back to the Mishnah, Horidu Kohen Gadol Levet Zvila. At this time, not only are they getting ready to slaughter the Tamid, they are bringing the Kohen Gadol down to the Mikvah, the Tvila in the Mikvah, the first Tvila of the day. Now the Mishnayot in this chapter are going to go on to tell us that every Kohen would immerse in a Mikvah, would have Tvila before beginning that day's ritual and service in the temple. But here the Mishnah adds another detail, which is really important. And of course, when we have the temple rebuilt, b'mheira v'yameinu amein, when we have a temple, this is a very important halacha to recall. Zeh haklal, this is the general rule, the Mishnah says, haya b'mikdash. These are the rules for the temple. Kol ha-meisich et raglav, someone who covers his legs, and that's a euphemism for defecation, for solid waste, ta'un tevila. He needs to go to the mikvah. Now, of course, he also has to wash his hands with soap and prevent bacteria from spreading, but he also needs to go to the mikvah before going to the temple. V'chol ha-metel mayim, and somebody who places water, who releases water, that's just urination only, ta'un kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He has to wash his hands and feet before the Kohen can resume working in the temple. It's also worth noting something we've mentioned that comes up in a few Mishnayot, is there are no dirty words or, you know, unclean language. In Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh, so Mesich Raglav means he covers his legs, like he spreads out his cloak over his legs for tzniut when he's going to the bathroom. There's no actual word for actually that act. And the same with Matil Mayim, he's releasing water There's no actual word for that bodily act like we have in English and other languages, because again, Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh, is a very holy language. Without certain words, we use Baruch Hashem euphemisms instead, so we can keep our mouths clean to serve Hashem with. Sei gesund and Tiskul Mitzvot.